Yes, amen. Let's pray God. So we come here all the way from Arkansas.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I feel like God's been so good to us. Amen. Acts 3, there's a man. You know the scripture says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb who was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask of alms of them that enter into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He had an expectation. Amen. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Amen. I want you to know right there, there's a holiness message right there. He said, silver and gold have I none. That's Peter. I said, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Amen. Peter was married, by the way.
That's true.
That means Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I want to tell you here, listen to this morning, when you have the king, you don't need no bling.
Right.
Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. And he grabs him and he picks him up and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And he stood up because he had an expectation in his spirit. I want to tell you here this morning that I just have expectation that the Lord is going to come in on a Sunday morning. And whenever you have need of, if you have need for a miracle, he can give you a miracle. If you have need for the Holy Ghost, he can give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I don't want to come to church not expecting nothing. I don't want to come to church and just have casual get together rather than a moment where Jesus can do something in our midst. Amen. Stand with me for the reading of the Word. John 2, starting verse number 1. You'll have to bear with me today. My throat is, my voice is going out and tired in my body. Amen. But I've been giving this church my all. Amen. Give honor to your pastor.
Amen.
We love him and we love his precious wife. She made us some of this fruit salad. And I'm telling you, we've been snacking on it every single day. It's been delicious. Amen. Every meal that she's prepared and all the meals that everyone's prepared for us, every handshake, every hug, every encouraging word. Thank you. Amen. Give honor to my wife.
Amen.
I'd be amiss without giving her honor, loving on her. Amen. I don't know how she's made it so far with me. Amen. We've been together for about 3 years now, and the Lord has been so good to me. Amen. He's given me somebody who pushes me and makes me a better man. Amen. John 2, starting with verse number 1. It says, in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they were filled down up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. Amen. Can I tell you, let me stop and say it like this real quick. There's sometimes that when you just bless and you become a servant, that God will bless you and you'll see miracles that nobody else seen. It's one thing to be on the receiving end of a miracle. It's another thing to witness miracles. You watch as Jesus goes and he's with his disciples, and they have a little boy with some fish and bread. And what does Jesus do? He tells them. He gives them a little bit, and he says, go and feed the crowd. And what did they do? They sat there, and they begin to break that bread and feed it to people, and break that fish, and they fed it to people. And they watched as the Lord was multiplying, and they were seeing the miraculous take place right in front of them. Hey, I want to take a second and ask you, what side of the basket are you on? All right? Are you just going to come in and you just be on spiritual welfare and all you do is receive and receive and receive? Or do you want to roll up your sleeves a little bit and you get to working and watch God do the miraculous?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He said unto the governor of the feast, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto them, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Amen. I want to talk a little bit to you this morning about the good wine. The good wine. Amen. Would you sit down in your Bibles? Would you lift your hands? Would you do me a favor? Would you pray for this preacher? Would you pray for my throat, for my voice today? Would you lift up your voice? Would you pray for your ears, for your spirit? Lord, help us this morning. God, I don't want to be just a doer of the word, Lord, but God, I don't want to just be a hearer of the word, but I want to be a doer also. Lord, I want you to bless me, God. Touch me. Amen. Amen. The good wine. Amen. You might be seated. Amen. If you could disturb me up just a little bit in these monitors, please. Amen. This is the first time that Jesus has done the miraculous. And what we're reading is that there is a party going on. Can I tell you just for a little bit this morning that that's all the happiness of this world. It's just somebody who's trying to make themselves happy. Somebody who's trying to drink themselves happy. Somebody who's trying to sing the problems away or dance the problems away or throw a party to get their troubles to go away. That's all this world can ever do is throw another party. It's just another Friday night party where they can put a mask on their pain and just try just for a moment to have artificial happiness. Can I tell you here this morning that this life is a miserable life without Jesus in it? This world without Jesus is a world that has no hope. This world without Jesus, there's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing to be happy about. I come to tell you, there is no joy in this world. There is no peace in this world. There is no fulfillment in this world.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
People will come in and they will try to substitute, and they will try to get a temporary fix, a temporary happiness, a temporary peace, and they will try just to have a second of fulfillment. They will try to have something just to ease their mind, something just to ease their consciousness, something just to ease their pain and give them joy. But it's a joy that will never last. It's happiness that will never last. It's peace that will never last. And when the drunk wears off, they're face to face with reality. And when the high wears off, they're face to face with their problems. When the sexual encounter wears off, they're face to face with the world of pain. I want to tell you here this morning that there is nothing to live for in this world except for a fake happiness, a fake high, a fake dance. This life is a miserable life without Jesus. This life is a life that's sad without Jesus. We're just living just to die without Jesus.
Amen.
It may not be popular, but it's true. Some people will say, well, since I have nothing to live for, I might as well party it up. I might as well get as high as we can, get as drunk as we can, sleep with whoever, or do whatever we want to, because we're just living just to die. But I come to tell you that we still have a Bible that says sin is a pleasure just for a season.
Amen.
Sin is exciting for a moment, but it doesn't stay that way forever, because there comes a day where it wears off and you're face to face with your pain. It comes a day where it's all where you're all alone with your struggle. It comes where you're face to face with darkness. It comes where the party's gone and your life is miserable. It comes where you're all alone and you're face to face with depression and anxiety and a mind that's messed up, in a emotions that are all out of whack. It comes when it's all said and done. But I want to tell somebody here tonight, this morning, that God wants to do a new thing. He wants to take emptiness and misery and pain, and He wants to flip that and give you joy and peace. He wants to flip that and give you something that you can't even explain.
Amen.
Emptiness, misery, pain. That's all this world can offer. Sexual encounters, drinking, drugs. It's all cheap. It's that happiness for a second, but then it's gone. Emptiness is the result of sin. And after all it's said and done, after all you're done with all your sin, or all you result with is nothing but emptiness. All you result with is nothing but a big gaping hole in your heart that you try to fill. And you can try to fill it for a moment. You can try to fill it just for a second. But there is nothing that can fulfill like the Holy Ghost. There is nothing. I'm telling somebody here this morning, you'll never find fulfillment outside of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless Him, Lord.
And so, this morning here, we're reading about Jesus being called to a wedding feast. He's being invited to a wedding. Can I tell somebody here that all you got to do, listen, that you got to understand me. I'm a preacher, real Gerber style today. That means it's going to be baby food. It's going to be nice and easy, so that way we can all understand it. Amen. But let me tell somebody like this. The first step in order for you becoming free, the first step in order for you to get delivered, the first step in order for you to get what you need, is you got to invite Him to your feast. You got to invite Him to what your problem is. It's just as simple as that. If you're struggling with something, if you're struggling with pain in your body, you got to invite Him. You just got to let Him know, hey, I need you. Would you come? And you know what? We've all heard it said that He's a gentleman, but He will not force Himself upon anybody. That means you just got to let Him in. You just got to invite Him. You got to send Him the invitation. He respects your free will, and so we have to invite Him.
Amen.
Do and comes to the walk to the wedding feast. Here Jesus walks in, and his mother comes to him, and she tells him, "We're out of wine." I want to tell somebody here that you got to identify your problem. The problem is some of us, we've been lied to. We've let others lie to us. We've let people that mean well, family members, that all of a sudden they become Christian when you step around them, lie to us, people that mean well. But you know what they do? They lie to us and tell us that we're okay, that it's okay, we can just be the same way we are. We've let people lie to us and say that we were born this way, and that that's how we've always been, and that's how we're always going to be. But I'm telling you, you got to get honest. You got to say, "I'm hurting, I'm broken, I'm lost, I'm confused, I'm angry, I'm addicted, I don't know who's right, I don't know who's wrong, I don't know what to do." Hey, I'm telling you, when you don't know, that's a good place for him to step in. When you're confused, that's a good moment for him to step in your problem and touch your situation.
Yes. Amen.
Honesty attracts God. What happens is we have far too many people who come to church and you look holy on the outside. You got the skirt on. You got the hair on. You can be holiness to the T. But we have problems in our life. And so we come to church with a mask on. We come to church looking one way when we know all along in the inside we're hurting and we're confused and we're broken and we're questioning God and we're asking, "Where are you in my situation? God, why have you not done this for me? God, why have you not healed my body?" But then somebody asks us how we're doing, and we just raise their hand and tell them, "Oh, we're just so blessed because we have a mask on." I'm telling you, honesty attracts God. You gotta get honest with him. You gotta get down to an altar and get honest with him and tell him, "I'm confused, I'm broken, I'm messed up, I'm dysfunctional, and I need your help."
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you'll show him your problem, he'll bring you a solution. She tells him, she says, "Jesus," she says, "we're out of wine." She identifies the problem. And after she identifies the problem, she tells the servants, she says, "Whatever he says to do, do it. Don't question it. Don't sit there and get hesitant with it." She said, "Whatever he says to do, you're just going to go ahead and do it." Can I tell you that some people that see the greatest blessings, the greatest of miracles, it's because they don't question God, they don't question the man of God, they just get up and they do it.
Right?
Amen.
I watch people. I watch people get the Holy Ghost, and even though they didn't understand it, and even though they were confused on it, what did they do? They said, "Pastor doesn't believe in wearing the jewelry," and so they took the jewelry out of their ears and they took it off their fingers, and you know what God did? God blessed them tenfold.
Amen.
That's
the word of truth.
I've watched people come in and they had long hair and they didn't understand it. It was confusing to them. Oh, they were guys that had long hair and they heard of the Holy Ghost, and not before they even knew. But what did they do? They cut their hair and they begin to live holy and they begin to live righteous. And what did God do? God blessed them and used them, and they see greater miracles because they were willing just to do what he said.
Right.
Amen.
Yes. I want to tell somebody, sometimes God's just waiting for some of us just to do what he says.
Amen. Amen.
Some of us, we haven't received blessings like we want to because we haven't aligned ourselves with the will of God.
Amen. Amen.
There's, you gotta understand me this morning, that if you want favor, if you want anointing on your life, you gotta align yourself with the flow.
Amen.
There's a flow that it's like the oil that goes down, Aaron. It's a flow that happens, and you gotta align yourself. You gotta align yourself to the will of God. You gotta align yourself to your pastor's standards and the things that he preaches. That's the reason that the Bible says that at the head of every woman is man, and the head of every man is Christ. That's the reason the Bible says that you ought to follow your husband as he follows Christ.
Amen.
That doesn't mean daddy's greater than mommy, but that means that mommy submits herself to daddy, and that means daddy, you got to be the man of the house, and you got to pray even when mama doesn't say we're praying, and you got to say, hey kids, we're going to fast even though mama didn't say it.
Amen.
The problem is, so many of us, we're so out of whack because mama is the spiritual head of the house, or daddy was meant to be.
Come on.
Listen, I don't even know why I'm on this right now. I'm trying to help somebody. We got kids that are more spiritual than mommy and daddy, so that they're out of whack and there's no blessing on their family. I'm telling you, if you want to live a blessed life, if you would listen, I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help you be blessed in your finances, to be blessed in your workplace, to be blessed in everywhere you go. I'm telling you, you got to align yourself with the Lord. You need a pastor in your life to align yourself to. You have somebody higher than you. You need to align yourself with. You can't be blessed out of whack.
Amen.
We got to align ourselves. We have to align ourselves. He tells them. He says, do whatever he says. Obey his words. I want to tell you that some things we preach, it's not just our opinion. It's not just our version, but it is the word of the Lord. I want to tell somebody, if you repent of your sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know that he's here for those who are miserable. He's here for those that are upset. He's here for those that are dysfunctional. He's here for the drug addict. He's here for the alcoholic. He's here for those that have been in church all your life. He's here for those that want him. He's here for those that need a healing. He's here for those that need a miracle. He's here for those that need the Holy Ghost. He's here this morning, and he wants to do something on our behalf.
Amen.
Amen.
So here she says, we're out of wine. Now, if you're like me, I grew up in church. There's a moment where I backslid and was a rebellious teenager, but I grew up in church. And I remember my parents were in church, and they had alcohol in the fridge and wine. And I went to church, and if we can get honest in this place, I hated going to church. I was so scared of God. I just come in church and I just sit on that pew and weep and cry and just bawl like a little girl the whole time. Because I was just so scared of God. I was scared of hell. I was scared of heaven. I was scared of everything. And I remember going to Sunday school. My mama, she wasn't in church, but she always made sure somebody came and got me. A sinner knew it was important to come to the house of the Lord. Somebody who wasn't in church knew that it was important that every time my baby could, he was going to be in the house of the Lord.
Yep.
And I remember hearing about wine and, you know, drinking's a sin, and it always confused me. I thought here Jesus is making water wine. I thought that was a sin. That didn't make sense to me. But what we're reading here, let me help somebody. What we're reading here is we're reading a type and shadow. And so we have to understand that all throughout biblical literature, all throughout whatever you're reading in your scripture, you'll find multiple types and shadows. Little things here, little things there that the Lord has pulled from scripture to resemble something that's fixing to happen. Just like when we preached on that lamb, that perfect spotless lamb, and how they were to collect that blood and put it on the doorpost of their home. And what we're reading there is we're reading the type and shadow of the Christ, of Jesus. Jesus coming in, and how he was a perfect and a spotless lamb, and how he died for us, and how we take his blood and we put it on our lives. It's a type of shadow. Or we can look at as they exit out through Egypt, and as they go through that water, or we can look at it, and Egypt gets cast into the water, and they go through, and finally they're delivered. We can read and see the type of shadow of baptism there, and how every man needs to be baptized in order to let Egypt die in the water. You gotta let the world die in the water. You gotta let the old man die in the water. You gotta let Egypt sit there and die in the Red Sea. And what happens is you go on, and all of a sudden you're a new nation.
Right?
Yeah. So here we're reading a type and shadow. And anytime you're reading about wine, you're reading about types of the Holy Ghost. You're reading about types of the Holy Spirit. And so here he's saying, we've ran out of water. I mean, we've ran out of wine, and all we have is water. And so Jesus looks about and he says, okay, what do we have? And they said, all we have is wash pots. So we have to understand what's a wash pot. Well, if we look through Scripture, they didn't have Dollar Tree, they didn't have Walmart, they didn't have no TJ Maxx, they weren't rocking no Gucci's, they didn't have any of that stuff. They didn't have Ferragamo on their feet. What did they have? They had nothing but a little bit of leather on the bottom of their foot, and most of them walk around barefoot. And so here they would travel and they would walk. They couldn't hop up in their new Mercedes. They weren't bougie like you. They weren't hopping in their minivan. All they had was a camel, and when the camel was tired, or when the camel was carrying the burden, they were walking everywhere.
Right. Right?
And so what happens if you walk barefoot? Well, in here, down in Florida, you'll probably get bit by a rattlesnake, a fire ant, an alligator, lose a couple toes, and it's probably the same there. They have scorpions and everything else weird. But what happens is your feet get dirty.
Right?
I mean, you're walking, here you are, you're walking, you're going to a wedding feast, and you're feeling good, you just wash your in between your toes, and you start stepping, and you know what happens, you step in camel poop and cow poop, and you got a mess up in between your toes, and then you just step on a Lego, and you're upset, and you're frustrated, and there's grandma's a cough drop, and it's in between your pinky toe, and you're upset, because here you are, you just cleaned those feet, but you had to walk. I want to tell you, you can try to live as good as you want to on your own, but eventually, when you're walking through this life, you're going to get dirty.
Amen.
You're going to mess up one way or another. I want to tell you, a white lie is still a lie.
Amen. Amen.
You're going to get, it doesn't matter if you're the least sinner of them all, you're still dirty. You're still filthy righteous. You're still filthy rags compared to his righteousness.
Amen.
We're dirty. Human nature, we were born into sin. We were shaped into iniquity. We're liars. We're cheaters. We're backbiters. We want this to be the best winner. We want this to be the most powerful. We're money hungry. We're filled with lust. We're filled with anger. That's how human nature is.
Yeah.
Jealousy.
Yeah.
Adultery. Please the flesh. It's just our nature. We get dirty.
Right.
And so what would happen is this. You'd show up to the wedding feast, and you'd sit down, and they'd have water pots. And those water pots would come over, and they'd begin to take that water and wash your feet. They just got brand new carpet for that wedding. You ain't going in there with your poopy feet. They're going to wash your toes. They're going to scrub in between them. You're going to be nice and clean. I want to tell somebody, before you can ever get the Holy Ghost, you got to repent. That's what's happening here. It's a type and shadow. Before Jesus can ever fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you got to stand up
got to get honest. You got to stand up and identify your problem. You got to get up and say, God, I know I'm a liar, and I need you to forgive me for my lying. God, I need you, God, I know I'm a cheater, and I need you to forgive me for my cheating. God, I know I'm jealous, and I need you to forgive me for my jealousy. God, I know I'm filled with depression and anxiety and fear and doubt, and I need your help. And what he's doing is, he's your feet are dirty and he's washing those feet. He's cleansing you out. He's forgiving you of your sins. Can I tell you that every time you repent, that's what he's doing. He's forgiving you. But every time you say, hey, I want to tell somebody here this morning, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I want you to know he has forgiven you, but he hasn't forgotten.
Come on.
When you are baptized in that name, that's when the Bible says that your sins are cast into the sea of forgetfulness. That's when not only does he forgive you, but he forgets what you did. That's when he doesn't become the God of the third and fourth and fifth and the sixth and the seventh chances, but he becomes the God of the second chance.
Yeah. Right.
What do you mean? It becomes your second chance because the first time, if you did it, you repented. And what does he do? He forgets it all again. And so you sin again. And now it's a second chance. Now every single time you repent, every single time you'll find favor. And he'll wash those feet. And he'll make you clean. And you'll come in and he'll say, you can repent of your sins today. You can be baptized in Jesus' name this morning. And the lie that you told before you ever got to church, you can come out of that water and you can say, God, forgive me for telling that lie. And he'll say, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
What lie? Because it's cast into the sea of forgetfulness. So here he is. He's saying, get the water pots. Get the wash pots. Give me the pots that we use. Fill them with water. He says, fill them up. They get them. They bring them. They fill them up. And he says, go. I just want you to go. Don't doubt it. Don't try to overthink it. Don't try to be persuaded by something else. He said, just go. And so what do? They grab that water and they begin that. They take a cup out of those dirty pots that were just now made clean. He takes them. Take some water, and they go and they give it to the head of the feast, and he begins to drink of the wine, and he says, this is greater than anything I've ever experienced before. This is the best wine I've ever drunk in my life. Can I tell you, there's nothing like the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like giving. There's nothing like getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like speaking in other tongues. It's real. It's not fake. It's not something we teach. It's not something that we can fake. But it's real. And it's powerful. And he wants to fill somebody in this house with the Holy Ghost. First time people got filled with the Holy Ghost, there was 120 of them. And what did they do? They staggered. They didn't just sit there and become church jewelry. They didn't just sit there and become jewelry for a pew. Oh, no. But they knew that they had to get the Holy Ghost and go out. And so they begin to go. And they're acting drunk. And they're acting happy. And people are watching. And they're shouting and dancing. And they're saying, oh, I never felt like anything like what I'm feeling right now. Oh, I'm feeling joy. Oh, I'm feeling peace. Oh, I'm feeling the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And people are watching and they're getting so caught up. They're saying, my God, look at them. They're drunk. My God, look at these 120 people. They're drunk. Oh, they must be on some wine. Let me tell somebody here this morning, don't you let this Holy Ghost get stale.
Amen.
Don't let it just be another casual thing that you do because you're Pentecostal and so you have to speak another tongue. No. Hey, I'm telling you, once you come to church and you just look like a statue and you got your arms crossed and you look bad and you look like you don't even want to worship God. Hey, I want to tell you, if you got the Holy Ghost, you got the most powerful thing in the world. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got the power. And that's the pinky toe and all the hell has. If you got the Holy Ghost, it does something to you. I want to see you when we all get to heaven and begin to stir in your spirit and you say yes, because I have the Holy Ghost. What does the Holy Ghost do? It makes you clap your hands. What does the Holy Ghost do? It makes you leap for joy. What does the Holy Ghost do? It makes you shout. It makes you dance. It makes you feel good. Because it's the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, that's why Jesus said we ought to be like babes. Because you don't need the Holy Ghost just to come in and sit up inside of you and you act like, oh, help me, Jesus. You don't need the Holy Ghost to come up inside of you and you just come in and sit down and you just act like you can't move and it's just so hard for you and life's so, no. You watch a little baby as they got some music pumping and their head starts a bobbing and their feet start moving and you know what? And I know some of us, we can't do all that, but you know what you can do? You can let that Holy Ghost begin to stir you. And all you can do is just wave a finger. You can wave that finger because there's power when you worship. There's power in the grace of the Holy Ghost. In the grace of the heart of God. When he sees the people, and even though I'm hurting, and if I gotta sit down and just move my feet, he sees the sacrifice. It serves him. It serves him. You want to heal him? You want to heal him? Why don't you move out of hate? Oh, you just had your casual worship. You know what frustrates me? What frustrates me is some of us, we've given the devil more than we've given God our lives.
Amen.
You know what some of us did? When we were in the world, we'd buy a pack of cigarettes every single day and we'd smoke the cigarettes for the nicotine high. And when the nicotine high wasn't doing it, we bumped it up a little bit and we started to get on the marijuana. And when the marijuana wasn't doing it, we bumped it up and we got up to the alcohol. And when the alcohol wasn't doing it, we bumped it up and we got to messing around. And when that wasn't doing it, we kept pumping it and pumping it and pumping it and pumping it up. How often we come into the church house and God fills us with the Holy Ghost, and the same ones that used to buy a pack of cigarettes every day have a hard time and they start fussing about paying their tithes.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But God's gonna bless me because they haven't given to God what they've given to the world.
That's right.
Some of us, we used to, back when we were in the world, we used to go, I don't know if it was a honky-tonk or the disco. I don't know if it was just you being a fool with your friends. You know what we used to do? We used to go out and party and dance and shout. And now we come to the house of God and we sit back and bump it along and we just feel entitled for a blessing.
Amen.
I want to tell somebody, if you give to God what you gave to this world, you watch as God works it into heaven. If you come into church and you just give him your little Pentecostal patty cake thing out and it's not working, you're still fighting hell, you still haven't seen a miracle, why don't you pop it up a little bit and turn it into a weekend? And if the people don't like, turn it into dancing. Come on. please, please. They must be drunk. They must be drunk. Peter gets up. He says, they're not drunk like what you're thinking. Oh, but they're drunk on a new wine. They're drunk. Oh, he said, this is what Joel prophesied. He said that the Lord would pour out his spirit upon all flesh so that my sons and daughters will prophesy and my old man shall dream dreams. Come on, I'm telling you, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy. He began to say, this is the same Jesus which you crucified. He said it. They began to say, men and brethren, what must we do? They started feeling conviction. He began to say, you got to get the lost pot ready. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And he said, you will. You will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children. And as many as the Lord our God. The Spirit comes, and just like the wedding feast, the wine is filled to the brim. I'm going to tell you, Jesus won't just give you a sip or a tease. He won't just tease you your whole life. He wants to fill you to the brim.
Amen.
And the greatest thing of all is you can experience it every single day. You can get drunk in the Holy Ghost and wake up with that hangover.
Come on.
You can go to sleep praying underneath the pew, speaking in other tongues, and wake up not regretting what you did last night. I worked at a factory when I was just fresh out of high school. Feeling the call. Know where to aim it at. I talked to my pastor at the time. I told him, now my wife, she knows me that I'm not a morning person. I wake up and I'm mad at the world and mad at the devil. God help my wife. She says something too bad. I'll be mad at her too. I'd have to wake up at 5 a.m. and he pushed me to start praying. He said, wake up an hour early. Get in prayer. I said, Pastor, I'm not a morning person. I want to punch my own face when I wake up. He said, do it anyways. My first thought in my head, oh Lord, I'm going to be so tired all day. The Lord's going to have to help me because I'm going to be upset, tired, mad at the world. And you know what began to happen? At first, I didn't do it. But you know what happened? I needed the Lord to do something. I needed Him to touch me. I woke up. I started praying. I watched as my days were full of anger and my days were full of everything going wrong as the Lord began to move things for me. And I would have strength all throughout the day. I'd wake up and I wouldn't be tired. I'd wake up and I'd watch as the Lord began to provide rest for me. I want to tell somebody here this morning. I believe that today, this morning, that God wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. I believe that this morning, let's try that again, because this is the Pentecostal church. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the Holy Ghost. And so I say it again like this. I believe that this morning, God wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. I believe that this morning, not only do we believe in speaking in tongues, but we believe that God can do miraculous healings in bodies. And I believe this morning that God wants to heal somebody's body.
Yes, sir.
Come on, help me. I said, I believe God wants to heal somebody's body. Not only do we believe that God can fill somebody with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that He can heal somebody's body, but we believe that God's an emotional healer. We believe if you're battling depression, if you're riddled with anxiety, if we believe that God can come in, and just the same God that can heal somebody's body can touch somebody's mind.
That's right.
Yeah. And I believe God wants to do that this morning.
Yeah.
I said, I believe God wants to do that this morning.
I believe
it. The Lord is calling this church to a deeper dimension. The Lord is calling, He's calling saints of God in this house to go deeper, more than you ever, more than you did when you were a young person, more than you did when you first got in the church, first spoke in other tongues. The Lord is calling some people to get to a place of siege, of such deep and intercessional prayer for the city, for your family, for the miraculous, because I'm telling you that the Lord is trying to draw this assembly to a place where every time we step in the building, there's people receiving the Holy Ghost. He wants to draw this church to a place where, you know what, it looks real good here on a Sunday morning, but I want to tell you, He wants to draw this church to a place where we're going to have to put chairs out, and we're going to have to move over to the fellowship hall, until we can build a new building. And when we can pack that one out, and we have to find a new property, and when we have a new property, the Lord's going to deliver that to us too. And when the Lord delivers that to us, we're going to build up a new building, and we're going to pack that one out too. And we're going to watch the Lord do the miraculous, and we're going to watch God do the family back and your kids home, and we're going to watch God do a new miracle signs and wonders. Come on, let's raise our hands right now. Let's buy into that right now. Come on, let's buy into that right now. Come on, you buy into it right now. It won't return void. It's not going to die. He can do it. Come on, close your eyes with me right now. Come on, lift up your hands. That young boy is speaking in tongues for the first time. Come on, picture your baby coming down to an altar and repent of their sins. Start the world to make sure that we got that water pot next to us. And when we begin to say, God, if there's anything in